baptisms today. Amen? Amen. It's exciting. Yeah. Where do you meet these people? They are just absolute treasures, and they I'm so glad that they're in the kingdom of God, because they're going to do some work for the Lord. I can just see that. God's just got his hands all over your guys' lives, and you guys will see that firsthand for yourselves. But for just a few moments before we get to the baptism, I want to talk to you about passion. You know, you're people of passion, right? I mean, we're the city of Philadelphia. We have passionate fans here. I read an article that says that that Philadelphia is the second most passionate fans in all of the NFL, second to the Green Bay Packers. We exude passion when it comes to our football team, don't we? Oh, man. We got people who love Jesus more than the Eagles right here. So that's awesome. But we're passionate fans. Is there any passionate Eagles fans in here? All right, okay. All right. Maybe not. Maybe a bad start to the sermon. Okay. No, I want to start by talking to you about passion and how God has seen you as people of passion, and that he has entrusted you with his passion and to distribute it and to share it with the world. Did you know that? One of the fundamental things that we believe here about about being the body of Christ and here at Cornerstone, we believe that every person who is called into the kingdom of God is called by God and invited to partake of his work and his ministry. And so he calls you into mission, that you're part of the mission of God's mission. God's mission becomes your mission. And you do so, and you take that on upon yourself because you're like, man, God, you've been so incredible in my life. You've demonstrated yourself in such an amazing way in my life that I just want to show other people. And so I want you to know this morning that God has entrusted you with his passion. And he wants you to take his passion and distribute it and share it and demonstrate it to the world around you. Is that okay? Everybody's like, oh, no, passion. No. We're going to look in real quickly in Acts chapter 4. Turn with me there. And I'm just going to give you sort of a little bit of context. We got the kids going to be coming up in just a few minutes. They're going to just run through this place. So I want to get through this before they come up. Here's the context. Peter and John, disciples of Jesus, are getting arrested. And they have to now go before the council, the spiritual bigwigs of Jerusalem, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and because they're disrupting the environment. The Bible says that they were going about preaching the resurrection of Jesus. They were going about laying hands on people and they were being healed. This was an absolute, complete disruption. The Holy Spirit has filled them. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've been empowered for the mission that God has called them on. And here they are. They're going about, and in speech and in action, they are going forth with boldness and confidence. And it's causing a disruption. In verse 4 of chapter 4, it says that many people believe. 5,000 men came to the Lord. And so that doesn't include the women and children. And so 5,000 just men. And again, it's not including the women and children, are coming to the Lord, coming to faith in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they are seeing men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God, empowered for mission, and they have a driving passion that is driving them into the world, pushing them back out and saying, wow, you guys have to know this man, Jesus Christ, like we know him. Wow, you have to know who this man is, like we know him. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 8. So here's Peter and John, and they're before the council of the spiritual bigwigs. They're brought and they're arrested because of the things that they're doing, the things that they're saying about Jesus. It's causing an absolute disruption, and they have to go before the jury, basically, and they have to give an account. And so here, if it was you and I, we'd be giving a defensive account, right? Oh, I did this because of this. But we're going to see something different in Peter and John. They go on the offensive here, and in verse 8, it says this, as we're picking it up. And then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, then by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to everybody, to all of you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man standing before you is well. He's talking about the man that they healed to walk again. This Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, which has now become the cornerstone. And there is no other name, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Okay? And now here we see something very, very, very great here. We capture something in verse 13. It says this. And so now when they saw their boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that these men were uneducated, common men, the King James says ignorant men, they were astonished. When they saw that these uneducated, common dudes, just like you and me, were coming forth with such boldness, it says at that moment they recognized that these men have been with Jesus. It was at that moment when they saw that their boldness came forth. And that word boldness is a word that means your speech and your actions are confident and there's a driving passion behind it. All right, that's what boldness is. Speech and actions, bold, confident, but there's a driving passion behind it. So when they saw the passion of these men coming forth in boldness and confidence, not only in their words about Jesus, but in their actions, it was apparent to the outside world, wow, these men have been with Jesus. That's what it looks like to be changed and transformed by the living God. That's what it looks like to know Jesus Christ. And the disciples even say in verse 20, they say, man, we couldn't help but speak of what we've seen and heard with our own ears and mouths, our eyes. We've seen the miracles of Jesus. We've seen him lay hands on people. We've seen him do the miraculous. We heard truth come out of his mouth, and we cannot help now but share that with other people. Because Jesus had left now, and the Holy Spirit had come upon them and empowered them for mission. And so what this is saying now is that the passion of Jesus Christ has now been imputed into the people through the Holy Spirit. And so now you and I, people filled with the Holy Spirit, this is our role in 2018, 2019, to be people who carry the passion of God. Because when people see the passion of God in you, they will know that you've been with Jesus. And they will see, wow, that's what a transformed life looks like. I want that. I want that. I've got to have that. If that's what it looks like to be with Jesus, I've got to have that. I've got to have that. And so what I'm saying to you, church, is this. A changed life that is full of passion for Christ is going to convince the next generation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When it comes to reaching this world for Jesus, especially at this time of the year, this Christmas season, Anthony was saying, Jesus is everywhere. People are presented with Jesus because people are fighting to keep Jesus in this story, right? It's everywhere. The reason for the season is everywhere. People are filled with wonder and awe. There's this wonder that's within inside of everybody, an expectation. There's something more going on here. And when the world sees, the outsiders see, the passion of Jesus flowing through your life, it's going to draw them to Jesus. I absolutely believe that. That's what this is saying here. 5,000 people, not men, not women and children included. Who knows what that number was with the women and children. But they came and they believed because their speech and their actions were driven by the passion of God. Were driven by the passion of God. And when they saw their passion, they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. It wasn't when they saw their education. It wasn't when they saw how much money was in their bank account and how rich they were. It wasn't how polished these men were. It wasn't about them having it all together on the outside. No, when these uneducated, common, ignorant men came forth with boldness in their speech and action, when they were passionate about Jesus in their words and their actions, it became apparent to the outside world, that's what it looks like to be with Jesus. That's what it looks like to be with Jesus. These men experienced life with Jesus in a tangible way. They had sat with Jesus. They heard him. They seen him. They experienced him. And they just couldn't contain it anymore. I've been with Jesus. He's filled me with his Spirit. I've been empowered by his Spirit for this work that he's called me to. I have been with Jesus, and now I go and share that with the world. Passion gushing forth through your life. The passion of God gushing forth through your life is what's going to draw people in. And I want you to understand something, that this is not necessarily your passion. This is God's passion coming through you. As you yield your life and surrender your life to him, it's the passion that God has for the world. It's his love for the world. It's his desire to see people set free and to be delivered from sin and bondage. It's his desire to see people filled with true joy and hope and peace and love. It's his passion that he demonstrated in the natural, a supernatural act, through the birth of His Son, the death and resurrection of His Son. It's His passion that has come to this earth and is now flowing through His people. Are you with me, guys? This is what you've been called to. This is what I've been called to allow the passion of Jesus to gush through your life so that people can see it. In verse 16, I love this. In verse 16, they start deliberating, the spiritual bigwigs, they start to deliberate, and they're like this in verse 16. What are we going to do with these men? For a notable sign has been performed through them. He's talking about how they've laid hands on them, that lame man, and he was walking, and a sign has been performed through them. It's evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We now cannot deny it's true. We cannot deny that this is true. And I want you to see this, that the passionate outworking of a life that has been with Jesus will be undeniable to the world. The passionate outworking of your life as you spend time with Jesus, as you come and you be in His presence and you allow Him to change you and transform you and mold you by His Spirit each and every day, will be undeniable to the world, and it will be something that they desire. I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, it was based upon the passion that I saw other people have. It wasn't dryness. There wasn't a dry spirituality. It was wet, and it was gushing, and it was, wow, they've got a passion because they've been with Jesus. That's what it looks like to be with Jesus. I want that because that's truth. That's the reality of what it looks like to be with Jesus. That it's not dry and it's not boring. It is the most exciting and joy-filled and peaceful and hope-filled life that you can ever experience. It is abundant life here and now. And that's what Jesus wants. It was God's passion for you and I to experience His life before death. Not just life after death. You with me? God's passion drove Him to send Jesus here so that you and I could experience abundant life in the here and the now, right now, to experience true grace and mercy and love and joy and forgiveness here, now, to experience the fullness of life on this side of death. That's His passion. That was the passion that drove Him to this earth, and that's the passion that now you and I have been called by God to carry on into this world. The people carried with them a passion and a conviction of the power of God everywhere they went. Everywhere they went. And so I want to challenge you with this, because when I open Scripture, I don't know about you, but every time I open Scripture, man, it challenges me. And it's supposed to, because it's stretching us. It's forming us and molding us into the likeness of Christ, and that's growth. Guys, we're called to grow. We're called to be molded into the image of Christ Jesus every single day. And so here's the challenge that the Holy Spirit just hit me with as I'm reading through this. And then he plants this question on me. Is your passion increasing? Is your passion increasing? I was like, whoa, hold on. I didn't realize my passion was supposed to be increasing. I didn't even realize that was something that was supposed to be. And so the Holy Spirit just began to unpack that as I was just talking with Him about this, and He said, now I want you to see this perspective. How long have I been with you? He's been with me since I was 5 years old, but how long have you been surrendered to me? And it's been 14 years since I surrendered my life to Jesus. So if I look at it from that perspective, really, I'm kind of just a young teenager in the Lord, right? A young teenager in the Lord. So what if I planted this on you? What if I said to you that a life that has been with Jesus over so many years, the longer you've been with Jesus, the more time that you've spent with Jesus, should not your passion also be on the increase? Isn't that a challenging thought? Isn't that a challenging thought? I look at you two right here, Walter and Joan, and are you jumping up and down and doing jumping jacks for the Lord? No. But there is more passion that wells up from within you guys every time I'm sitting with you and talking with you. It's just evident that as you've spent time with Jesus for how many years have you been believers? 80 years? It's evident that they have been with Jesus. It's infectious, and you want that for yourself. And so that's what I'm saying, church. That's what I'm challenging you with. Yeah, but Pastor, life is hard, and it's full of disappointment, it's full of pain, it's full of all this just junk and hurts and all this stuff. Yes, But Jesus is with you in that. He entered into our mess. And so then you've been a people, as you live with him and your life is with Jesus, you've experienced joy in the midst of sorrow and hope in the midst of chaos and peace in the midst of chaos. You've experienced provision in all of your needs. You've experienced life abundantly through the most difficult things that any man and human woman has ever experienced. You experienced life with Jesus in those moments. And so your passion should be on the increased measure. Amen? Amen. Can you guys commit today? We're going to do a baptism right now, but can you just lift your hands and say, I commit, Lord God, and I ask you to increase in me a passion for you. Just in your heart and in your mind, say, Lord, increase in me. Let your spirit, Lord God, in this moment where you have all these hands and these willing, available people who say, I want your passion to overflow and boil over within me so that the world can be reached for you. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.